All right. Thank you for giving. Happy Chinese New Year, everybody. You know, today for the Hokkiens, it's your real Chinese New Year. And it's the day where they worship Tee Kong. Okay? So, how many of you have had a wonderful Chinese New Year? Raise your hand. Yes. How many of you gained at least 2 kg? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's all right. It's time to exercise. I just want to say I had a great time back to Johor Bahru. How many of you, right, when you go back hometown, then somehow there will be a lot of mattresses, the single bed tilam laid everywhere. Some of you sleep in the living room. Some of you sleep in this room and that room. How many of you, your tradition is like that? Just squeeze. Yeah, I am like that. But this year, you know, I decided to just rent a hotel nearby my house. So as I looked down, I actually saw my taman where I grew up. I've never seen that view before. So I realized, wow, my world, those days were just that taman. All my friends are there, all the shops are there, all the alleys and all the roads, all my shopping mall is just there. At one glance, I saw how I grew up. And the Lord reminded me how much He has really been faithful to me, lifted me up from a really a poor family, a dysfunctional family, to where my family today, I just want to proudly say my mom loves the Lord, my brother, my sister, all of them love the Lord, and God has really redeemed and showed me how far He has brought me through. So how many of you, are close to your cousin? Not a lot. How many of you, are not close to your cousin? Don't raise your hand. It's fine. But I always made it a point to make sure that my kids, they know their side of the family. They know my cousins and their uncles and aunties. But very interestingly, this time something happened on the second day of Chinese New Year tour. We always go to my tuako place. My tuako is my father's eldest sister, and she's 97 years old. So she's only 2 years younger than Mahate. So what happened was that I didn't expect this. My mother actually went to hold my tuako's hand and then said in Teochew and said, "Please tell this boy," so telling me, "that he is not picked up from the rubbish bin. He is actually my biological child." I think my tuako is already old. I think my mom is holding the opportunity to convince me that I'm not adopted. It's so funny. Until today, how many of you still doubt that maybe 0.01 second that you are adopted? Raise your hand. You know, please, parents of the past generation, repent of your sin. Stop saying that they are picked up from the rubbish bin when they are young. Stop saying that, you know, I just went somewhere, saw you, and then picked you home. That was what my mom told me all the time. So I have always this doubt that, am I really my mom's child? And then my mom lovingly this time, I said, "Please tell him that you saw him when he was being birthed." So I was really laughing. I was blushing as well. I said, mama, okay, I trust you. I believe in you. I am not picked up from the rubbish bin." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are not picked up from the rubbish bin." Yeah. You're not a mistake. You are not random. You have a purpose and you have a value in life. Amen. So let us pray. Jesus, I thank you for a wonderful celebration for those that are Chinese to spend time with their loved ones. Lord, all the steamboats, all the steamed chicken, all the roast pork, all the pomelo, all the mandarin oranges. God, we thank you for all these things. God, as we get ready to work, we just pray that all this thing be burned away, that we have strength and we have clear vision of what you have set us to achieve for 2024. We pray for clarity. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Speak so clearly into our lives so that today we will have faith to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be a good word. I just want to start with a introduction of what we covered previously on knowing the story of ourselves through the narrative of God, the big story of God, that the Bible started with the creation story, that God created heaven and earth, and on the sixth day created Adam and Eve. And that's the story of creation. The very first thing that you need to know, that as a Christian, when you worship your God, you worship your God as Elohim. He is a creative God. He is a creator. That means when you are a creator, the theology is that you are not created. He exists by himself, and he has created the world according to, you know, the story of Genesis is also order. That God has an order of doing things. He has his way of steps of doing things. So God is not a chaotic God. But before he was introduced in Genesis, the world was void. The world was empty and dark. It was chaos. But the introduction of God into your life, the introduction of God into your family, the introduction of God into your business, God gives order. He is a creator God. Upon the creation, then the story of the fall of Adam and Eve, choosing to trust their own ability than to trust God, took what they are not supposed to take and fallen into sin. So Genesis in the beginning is the story of creation and fall. And then subsequently, it went into the first murder of the whole entire history of human mankind. That is the killing of Abel by Cain. So it was not hard to find out who killed Abel, because there were hardly anybody around anyway. He doesn't look like he was eaten by an animal. He doesn't look like he fell down and died. He was actually killed. So Cain became a vagabond and left Eden. And then subsequently, Adam and Eve gave birth to the third son, that his name is Seth. Everyone says Seth. So a lot of the things that we learn, we are very much learning from the lineage or the descendants of Seth. And Seth continued on his journey. And as the world populates and all, then came the story of Noah and the ark. Those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. They fell into sin, and a lot of reminder, and still they refused. They lived by their own flesh, pleasing themselves, sleeping with other beings, and then it created beings that are not human beings, because they slept with different creation, and it was a mess. So God told Noah that I'm going to send a flood. We're going to start again. So Noah became the one that built the ark, chopped the tree, built an ark. The flood came, and the whole world was wiped out. And the story is this, that I always remind the church, that Noah's main assignment is not to build an ark. Are y'all with me? His assignment is to have the courage to start again. So when God saved you, when God redeemed you to be a Christian, it's not for you just to stay in an ark, stay in a church, stay in a comfort place. It's the courage to live your life again. That means I studied my background. I asked, actually one of my cousins just went through a bypass, two bypass. And then when he saw me, he said, you must know your grandfather died of a heart attack. My father died of a heart attack. So he said, there is this thing running in our family. You got to make sure that you go and check your heart. I said, okay, thank you, Coco. I will do that. But in Christ, we are new creation. Can I have an amen? That means there are a lot of things that it will pass down. But in Christ, when you're connected, you got to claim your possession. You got to declare, proclaim that in you, there will be a new inheritance, that we are the lineage according to Jesus linked to Abraham. So what happened was that Noah survived the flood together with Shem, Ham and Japheth, four families, and then they populate again. But imagine living in an ark for so long. You speak the same language, you understood each other, and then they begin after not long to build a tower that they believe that they can reach God. They believe that they can go to the level of God, and that is the Tower of Babel. And that was where the language was being confused. People were dispersed. And then came the story of Abraham. Everyone say Abraham. So Abraham heard of this story of God, the Creator. Abraham heard of this story of God. But where he lived in the Euphrates, they worship other gods. He has heard of the story of his great-great-grandfather, that is Noah, that they encountered God. They survived the flood. He was from a family that God was chosen, but he has never experienced God himself. So what happened was Abraham had the courage to venture out, to leave Ur and to leave Haran, and finally to seek for a place to find God. You see, our whole life journey is like Abraham. As much as you want to find success, as much as you want to find financial security, as much as you want to find a partner, as much as you want to find an invention, the real search for life is to search for God. You understand what I'm trying to say? That God is the one that you should be pursuing. So when Abraham was called the father of faith, it is not because he has faith to achieve a lot of things, but he has faith to seek God. He has faith to know that that was what I heard about Noah. That was what I heard about the old days where they can communicate with God. Therefore, I'm willing to leave my country, my current place, to go and seek out for God. My problem here today is that we are sitting here, not living our life to go and seek God. Whether it may be your career, maybe it may be your marriage, maybe it may be your business. It is all a journey of seeking God. Can I have an amen? So what happened was that, yeah, Adam and Eve, and then the murder of Abel, the birth of Seth, the flood through Noah, one after the other, slowly through Abraham, it came Isaac, the promised son. And through Isaac came Jacob and Esau. And through Jacob and Esau came the many tribes. And from Jacob, he has 12 sons. What happened was that all these 12 sons, one time during famine, so-called, maybe we are more familiar with the pandemic and all, what happened was that nobody had food, and Joseph was greatly used by God in this country that is superpower of those times to rose to rank. And what happened was that Joseph was so trusted by Pharaoh in Egypt, those days the most powerful force at that time, he got this privilege of inviting his families and his people to come into Egypt. Because everywhere else, it was filled with unemployment. Everywhere else, they were out of mask. Everywhere else, things are not working out. Everywhere else, maybe petrol price is going up. Everywhere else, it was chaotic. So Joseph said, come to Egypt. So when they went in, they were actually VVIPs to be invited into Egypt. But 400 years later, Joseph's contribution was forgotten and they were slowly being enslaved. 400 years, you can know how many generations. They don't remember anymore why Israelites are even here in our country. What happened? Why? They are pendatang, you know? So what happened was that they were in slavery and God raised this man called Moses. Everyone say Moses. So far following the story, I'm pointing to somewhere. Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. But how brilliant was that? That Moses raised in a fine family that knows how to read and write rather than just being nomad, know how to record things, wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. If he did not grow up in Pharaoh's court, if he was not well educated, he would not be able to record the first 5 books. It was oral tradition until Moses. Enough of hearing about my grandfather surviving the Japanese occupation. Enough of hearing now that I have been through university. It's time for me to write it down. These are all the things that I've heard. That was Moses wrote. So he wrote the first 5 books, and then they went out of Egypt, lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and this starts a new era that is called the era of the judges. Everyone say judges. So Israel has no kings. Everyone say no king. Israel has no king. There's only a judge to make sure you are right according to the laws that was given or you are wrong. The only king they have is God himself. So Joshua is probably known as the first judge. But today I want to start my premise here. Why do I explain from Genesis to here? I just want you to know, I don't want to pick up a passage and just preach a point. I want you to know that the Bible as a whole is very, very interesting. And what happened here in Joshua 24, verse 29 to verse 31, the last chapter and the last few verses of the book of Joshua says this. After all this, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of God, died. He was 110 years old. Actually, how long do you want to live? Why don't you ask your neighbor, how many years is enough? Just ask them. How many years is enough? Okay. How many of you 90 years old? 90. Not a lot. How many of you 80 years old? I have more hands. Okay, how many of you 120 years old? They got a lot, 120 years old. But quite some, all your friends gone already. You got no more friends. But I'm just kidding, okay. But anyway, 120 is God's promise, okay? It's a full life, according to the Bible. Just in case you don't know, Moses died at 120. So, listen to me. Let's come back. They buried him in the land of his inheritance of Timnath-serah, in the mountain of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served God through the lifetime of Joshua. Israel served God through the lifetime of Joshua. Israel, the whole community, served God through the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him. Even after Joshua died, the people that served alongside with Joshua continued to serve God, who had themselves, this is the key, who had themselves experienced all that God has done for Israel. You see, the reason that you can serve God your whole lifetime is because you yourself need to experience God. Do you see the key verse there? They served God the whole lifetime while Joshua was alive, and even after Joshua passed, it's because they themselves experienced the Lord. I know you experienced the Lord maybe when you're 13, 14, 15, I don't know. But are you experiencing the Lord this year, now, this moment? Do you have expectation? Because today I want to talk about faith to move forward. Faith that will move you forward. Joshua was one man that moved the entire nation forward and entered into the promised land because he did not just hear about what Moses has experienced, he himself experienced the Lord. He himself experienced the Lord. You know, it is very important that when you and I become Christian, we don't give up this greatest privilege that we are called to be sons and daughters of God. We are called to experience God ourselves. But what's stopping us? So I treat this as probably the sermon that everyone is ready to go back to work. Everyone is ready to make 2024 great. Everyone is ready, raring to go to achieve something. But what could stop you from experiencing the best of God this year is that we need to watch out for three things. Three things that you need to quit this year in order for you to have faith to move forward based on the life of Joshua. You understand this? Joshua 24 verse 31, the people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, those who had personally experienced all that the Lord has done for Israel. That means themselves. This is in the NLT translation. A strong church collective. You see, our name is called collective. A church that is not built by superstar leaders that encounter God exclusively, but a whole community that can testify that the Lord has been faithful to all of us personally. The heart of God is that Jesus did not die for a few individuals, but Jesus died for all of us. Can I have an amen? I just want to say this, that I have experienced God countless times. And my desire is that my children and my friends and my family would experience the God that I experienced as well. But you must have an open heart posture. You must remember the first thing, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to bring you through three things that you're not going to do this year in order for you to have a great year. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 to verse 9. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that they may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Where are you going? How many of us, our dream is to stay put, be comfortable, and just have no issues in life? You see, when God promised His presence, even in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, God will be with you till the end of age when you bring the gospel to wherever. That means in order for us to say, God, I want your presence to be with me, like Moses, and say, unless your presence goes before me, I will not leave. That means you must want to go somewhere. Can I have an amen? We cannot just want to survive and stay put and not die. So for Joshua, it is to take over the baton from Moses and cross over, to cross Jordan over to the other side, because there was a promised land. The first thing that all of us collective this year, I want you to quit, is that quit being a cynic. That means don't be cynical. Cynicism is one sure way of you missing a progressive life. You understand what I'm trying to say? Courage over cynicism is very important. You know, I want to say this. One of the things that's very clear that Joshua is not cynical, you can see when the 12 spies were being sent to spy the land, all of them were very cynical. They were so big. You know, they were so strong. The land is too good to be true. Even Moses can't really lead us over. It is going to be so difficult. But Joshua had a different perspective. He said, the people, they're so big. I think the food must be good. The grapes so big. It must be exactly what God has promised to Abraham. It looks like it. Are you with me? Takkan, right? Takkan, I sent spy there. Right? I say, oh, everyone is very weak. The water there is not clean. The grapes is smaller than, cannot see. Like everything is like raisin. This must be God's promised land. Can it be like that? No. No. If God has promised you something, you need to have faith to have it. But what's stopping you is sometimes being too cynical about everything. It can't be done. It has never been done. It will never be done. Being a cynic means, right, you assume that everyone's intention is only for themselves and only your intention is right. People that are cynical are usually people that has a very high standard. But what happened is this. H.L. McKen say this. A cynic is a man who, when he smells flowers, looks around for a coffin. Cynicism gives us the luxury to be right without responsibility of working for change. It gives us the pleasure of effortless superiority. So a very cynical person are usually really more superior than you because they know it, because they have studied it, because they understand more. So they become very cynical. But you know what? Most of the time, they are right. But then, what's going to change? It is very important to understand that this year, quit being cynical. George Carlin said this, inside every cynical person, there is a disappointed idealist. Cynical people are usually angry. You guys are really quiet. Are you okay? But I explained to you, under that angry heart of a cynical person is hurt. They have been disappointed. They have been hurt before. That is why they become cynical. Thomas Friedman says this, pessimists are usually right. Optimists are usually wrong. But all the great changes have been accomplished by optimists. You could be wrong in the beginning. Is that okay, church? I think it's okay to get it wrong in the beginning. But then as you grow, as you learn, as you attempt, as you grow, as you learn, you get better and better and better and better. But a cynical person just won't move until it is perfect. In the beginning, make performance irrelevant. If you want to run, just go outside and walk for 5 minutes. If you want to start a business, just go out and talk to more people. Find out more. But a cynical person, they say, no lah, cannot lah, can't be done. It cannot be so good, too good to be true. People has other intention. It has ulterior motives. A lot of things is like you are always questioning people's motives, including yourself. A cynical person is not just cynical of other people. They are even cynical about themselves. And it is very difficult if this year you want to live by faith. Let's learn from the life of Joshua and say, hey, be courageous. Turn to your neighbor and say, be courageous. Instead of cynicism, choose courage to believe in others, to believe in God. Courage to be kind to people. Secondly, choosing obedience over complaints. Do you know why the children of Israel missed out promised land? Because they complained too much. I've said this before, but Keith, we are just human, what? I just need to rant out. I just need to say something out. I just need to let go. But I understand because I listen to a lot of people ranting and sharing. I myself do that. But you see, as you spend time with people, you must then know that what is the leaning and what is the posture of the heart. If the more you complain, the more resentful you become. The more you complain, the less trusting you are towards God. The more you complain, the lesser faith and lesser hope you sense. Then something is wrong that path. But some people, when they say that of the injustice of things that are not good, as they lash out, they will tell you, you know what? I really just need to surrender. Some people, they are like that. You know what? I myself am also a hypocrite. I myself not any better. So I understand that they just need to be a human and talk. But some people, the more they complain, the more the world is hopeless and they are so right, so right, so right, so right. Complaining makes sure that you miss out the promises of God. And complaining is energy draining. Complaining is energy draining. So one of the most destructive tendencies that will set back life's journey is complaining. But instead of complaining, Joshua obeyed the Lord. He inherited a bunch of complainers from the wilderness. It gets bad when we trade our humility for a sense of entitlement, like Gary has said. It gets bad. It is a bad smell whenever we trade our grace, the goodness of God, for a sense of entitlement demanding our rights. We begin to justify our actions and accuse others of their failures, of their expectations, of your expectations. We need to be watchful. That when God says He is the one that gives us our daily bread, that means we need to trust God daily. So pray prayers like this. Give me enough strength, patience, and courage, wisdom, and love to handle this day. I'll trust that when I wake up in the morning, You'll be there with me. You'll help me face tomorrow. I'm not going to try to collect more from You than I need. I want to learn to trust You for this day and fully live under Your grace. Amen. So, you know how I started this sermon, right? I felt we have so many things that we need to do every day. There's so many things that you need to do this year, but we don't know what we should not do. It's like, energy is not enough, not just money. Energy is not enough to be spent to live a successful life. Why? Because we have spent too much energy being a cynic. We spend too much energy being a complainer. We spend too much energy, thirdly, comparing. Don't tell me you don't compare. The moment you scroll, you compare. Valentine's. Maybe somebody got a bigger bouquet flower. Maybe somebody get Apple Watch Ultra and you only get the, I don't know what edition is it now. But there's always, when you compare, there's always a reason to be unhappy. You understand what I'm trying to say? But if you spend so much energy comparing, at the end of the day, what you missed out is contentment. If you want to gain this year, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness and contentment is great gain. If you learn to be more contented, you will set up yourself for a great year. I want to say this. Why Joshua was a person that's contented? Let me just show you from Exodus 33, verse 11. Are you guys still okay? Exodus 33, verse 11, it says, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Everyone say, wow. The Lord will speak to Moses face to face as a friend. What great privilege, right? But instead of being jealous, right? Then Moses will return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. You see, God was speaking to Moses. Joshua was just happy being around. That was his attitude. He was contented just even to be near. And then if you read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord start to speak to Joshua. He was contented before that, just being around. And when Moses passed, God began to speak directly to Joshua. And he was just having a good posture, my friends. He was just having a good posture. He was not pressing for entitlement. He said, God, can you give me 5 minutes? You spent 2 hours with Moses. Can you give me 5 minutes? No. He was just outside waiting. Why? Because he was contented just to be near God. Such is the attitude of Joshua, that instead of comparing himself to Moses, or even comparing himself to Caleb, or even comparing himself to other people, he was just a lover of God's presence. Are you a lover of God's presence? You know, this comparison sickness has to end, because you will never earn enough. You will never be fit enough. You will never be smart enough. Enough is when you know God loves you. Enough is when you say enough. Enough is when you are learning to say, God, if this is the wife that you have given me, or this is the husband that you have given me, it's enough. If I have this house, it's enough. It is a disease that's going out there while you mindlessly scrolling. And you scroll and you scroll, there are always people that's better figure than you. There is always people that go further than you. There's always people that eat better than you. There's always people that will know how to edit their pictures better than you. There's always, when you choose the right background song for your low song, someone will have a funnier one. You did, that day I was like so proud of our low song, so messy, right? Like very fun. I saw my friend's one, is like everyone's hair also got like, wow, that one more fun. Lower. Then when I saw, wow, ours a lot of people take part. I saw one that has a table like 200 people low song. It's like no end. You understand or not? Don't compare. And don't compare yourself down. Be contented. Be contented because God knows you. If He cares for the sparrows, and if He will take care of the lilies, He'll take care of you. But such is the attitude of Joshua that I don't want you to miss. You see, Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, as I read just now, the key word is here. After the death of Moses. Who is he? Everyone read. Moses the? Everyone say the servant of the Lord. It's not Moses, the sea parter. It's not Moses, the prince of Egypt. It's not Moses, the 10 miracles performer. It's Moses, the servant of the Lord. That is the conclusion of Moses' life. After 120 years, he served the Lord. And if you look again at Joshua 24, at the very end of verse 31, it is the same. Joshua was known to be the servant of the Lord as well. I want you to know, it is very, very important that all of us understand this clearly. Let me just read to you Joshua 24, verse 29. After all this, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. He was 110 years old. They were known to be servants. Why are we holding so tight? Why are we so cynical? Why are we so complaining? Why are we so comparative? Why are we so competitive sometimes? It's because we don't understand that at the end of the day, we are called servants and not owners. We are called servants. So this year, when you want your year to be a great year, I want to tell you this. Quit being cynical. Believe in someone. Cast hope. Be an optimist. It's a decision. It's a decision. In the beginning, you're not used to it because maybe like my family background, I live with a lot of lack. I have always need to try to figure out things because nobody think for me. Yeah, I grew up like that, but it doesn't mean I have to be forever like that. You understand? That means I need to make a choice that Keith, I choose to be an optimist. I choose to be a proponent of hope in life. That when people meet me, after they see me, they must feel with more hope than despair. I'm going to choose that. When I go into a room and pray for some sick patient, I'm not going to be there to say all the doom and gloom. I'm going to give hope. I'm going to appreciate them for fighting so well. I'm going to tell them that every moment you live is by the grace of God. You give hope. Don't be cynical. And don't be complaining. Let me just set you free. Every time when you go lunch with your colleagues, or every time you go lunch with your classmates, whenever you start talking, gossiping about your manager, your other colleague, have this image. You are circling in the wilderness. Every time you sit down, I say, don't talk about people. But I just tell you, I tell you only. You don't tell people. You're circling in the wilderness. You won't get out. That day I saw boss going M-Pop Mall. Don't know with who. Very young girl. You're circling in the wilderness. You know that person changed church already. You're circling in the wilderness. Don't spend your life complaining about all these things. Learn to obey God. Say, God, what do I have to do? What is my portion? What is my posture? And finally, please try your best. Stop comparing. Stop comparing your children to other people's children. You don't like to be compared when you are young. Your parents like to say, if only you are like your cousin, if only you are like your sibling, if only. You don't like it, so don't do it to other people. Don't compare, and don't compare yourself. Learn to quit these three things. I guarantee you, you'll have a great 2024. Your faith will cause you to conquer the promised land. Can I have an amen? Can we give God a big hand? Can we give God praise? I have seen in my life a lot of people that has went through hardship. You know, CK Sidin, they are one of them. You know, Alfred Winnie, Debbie and Sun Jin. I've seen them going through life, toughest season. But they don't complain. I've seen a lot of people in my life. I'm so blessed to have these people in my life. Because I realized one thing, they don't complain. They just fight it through. And they just say, no, my life is used to honor God. And we've gone through hardship. Don't complain. Don't compare. You see, other churches doing this, they are growing. The Lord loves them. The Lord loves collective. Amen? The Lord loves their family. The Lord loves your family. The Lord loves that company. The Lord loves your company. You just know that this is more about you adjusting your posture. Your posture is wrong. You go 10 times Cairo also is wrong. Your posture must be right. Then the Cairo got no business. Not true. I'm just kidding. But I'm saying your posture is always your posture. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's always your posture. So don't like your version of being a complainer. Don't like your version of being a cynical. You can quit. Don't like your version of liking to compare. You see, like, you see, other people do this. You see, like, you see. You see people change car. You see people got snow place. You see, like, you see. We only go Bangkok. People go Hokkaido, right? It's okay. If you are contented, you go to Johor Bahru also happy. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter. people eat Penang char kway teow, you eat kway teow kia, it's fine. It's fine. If you want to eat lo wong in Ipoh, also it's fine. But some people, they eat ramen in Tokyo, Ichiran, it's fine. You slurp your kway teow like Ichiran, it's okay, man. Also nice. Doesn't matter. Be contented. When you are such, when you are a good steward, I guarantee you God will promote you. I guarantee you God will use you. When more can be trusted to you, more will be given to you. So don't correct people's posture. Correct your own posture. Amen? Yeah? So, it's funny when Gary took up his hat and said, no hair. You understand? I always have white, grey hair. I always have grey hair. Then my barber always said, you want grey hair or no hair? I said, grey hair. My barber always asked me this question. I said, wah, banyak uban ah. Banyak rambut putih. Ah, bagus lah rambut putih. Tak ada rambut, susah. But not true lah. In Chinese, they say, out of 10, that has no hair, 9 will be very rich. That's the Chinese saying, okay? That's the Chinese saying. And you are definitely the 9, you're not the 1. But you see, you get to shop for hats, you get to shop for caps. Just be happy. You understand? So I just pray. This year will be a great year, amen. This year, say I'm not gonna be cynical. Come on, say I'm not gonna be cynical. I'm not gonna complain. I'm not gonna compare. Immediately it's a better year already. Stick to your lane. Do what God has asked you to do. Be faithful. I want you to die one day and say, Kason, the servant of the Lord. Josh, Cindy. Joshua. Gideon, the servant of the Lord. Amen. For me, let's be the servant of the Lord. I believe God has set a great year for you. It's going to be amazing. Your marriage is going to be deeper than ever before. You're going to have better quality of conversation. But learn, if you cannot handle your socials, just shut it off. That could be one of the best decisions you make this year. To shut off your socials. Don't let it consume you and tell you what is happiness. What is happiness? It's in the Bible. You want to know the secret to happiness? Don't look at Instagram. Look at the Bible. The Bible will tell you are highly favored, deeply loved. You are greatly anointed. You are empowered. You are worth the Savior dying for you. That's the Bible. There's no reason God not going to bless you. There's no reason. Unless it will destroy you. Unless it will distort you. But otherwise, let's live a year. 2024, move forward in faith. For faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Only when you spend time with the Lord, that your vision will be filled, and you will live a great year. Can I ask you to rise on your feet? This is how we're going to do it. You're going to dedicate 2024 to the Lord this moment. You're going to say, God, I choose to trust you. You are my blessed assurance. So with hands lifted high, we're going to worship God this song. And this is going to be how you start your year. I prophesy that this year will be a year of major breakthrough for you. Things will turn around. Those that lost passion in your work, you are going to find new joy. You're going to find new purpose. You're going to find new passion. Those marriages that are going downhill, God will resurrect. God will restore. God will use you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I prophesy that the students will do well. They're going to bring revival to their campuses in Jesus' name. What a beautiful song. Let's sing.